Today's shiur is a Masechet Bava Kamma on Daf Tes Zayin. We will begin on Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom of the Amud, with the Gemara immediately following the Mishnah. I would like to dedicate this shiur L'Ili Nishmas, my father-in-law, my shver, HaChavr Chaim Aryeh B'Reb Binyamin Zev, Mr. Fred Wurzberger, Olav HaShalom, who passed away early this morning. I am recording this stuff on Tez Zion Tevis Yehi Zichroi Baruch. The Gemara begins to explain the Mishnah. The simple pshat in the Mishnah that we learned in yesterday's shir was that there are Chamisha Tamin. The Av of Keren is Negicha, and then we had the Toldois, Negifa and Neshicha, Revitza and Beita. Those were the 5 Tamin, and then the Mishnah went on to explain that there were 5 Mu'adin. Hashen Mu'edis Lechol Asaroyla, that's the Av of, that's the Av of Shen. Then you have Haregel Mu'edis Lishbar B'derech Hilucha. Then you have Shor Amud, which means when a Tam by Karen becomes after 3 times a muad. Then you have Shor HaMazik B'Shus HaNizik, which we'll go into in more detail, Machlokas, Rab Tarfon, and the Rabbanan. And then you have Adam. These are the 5 Mu'adam. That's a simple pshat in the Mishnah, although the Gemara will give us on Tez Zayin Amud Aleph a different pshat. But the Gemara begins, Midik Tani HaShen Mu'edes Lechol, since it states in our Mishnah that Shen is a muad to eat, Michlal, the Bechatzer HaNizik HaSkinen. We know that Shen and Regal are Pater and Rishus HaRabim. If the Mishnah is discussing Shen, which is muad Lechatchila, it doesn't have to wait 3 times like Karen, but right away it's a muad, it must be speaking about that the Mazik Shor went into the Rishus of the Nizik, the one who got damaged, and not in the Rishus HaRabim, where Shen would be Potter. Uktani Behema Einu Mu'edis L'Shalem Kulei Aval Chatzi Nezik Mishal Lemes. The Mishnah also stated that Tam by Karen does not pay the whole thing. It only pays a Chatzi Nezik. But it does pay Chatzi Nezik. Money, if we're speaking about to make the Mishnah consistent between Shen and Karen in the Rishus HaNizik, this must be going according to Rabbanan, because we have a Machlokes Rav Tarfon and the Rabbanan further in the Masechta on Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, where the Rabbanan hold that Karen, it doesn't make a difference whether it's done in the Rishus HaRabim or it's done in the Rishus of the Nizik. Whenever it's Mishuna, whenever it is abnormal for the animal to do it, it has not yet done it 3 times. After 3 times, we see that this is the pattern of this animal. This is the normal activity of the animal. Then it pays Nezik Shalom. But up to 3 times, it's still Mishuna, and therefore the owner only has to pay Chatzi Nezik. So if we're speaking about in Rishus HaNizik, this must be going according to Rabbanan, because Rab Tarfon holds that Mishuna, Karen, B'Chatzer HaNizik pays Nezik Shalom. It's the Rabbanan who hold that they pay Chatzi Nezik, whether it's in Rishus HaNizik or in the Rishus HaRabim. So Mani, who's our Mishnah going like Rabbanan? They said Mishuna Karen, when Karen is Mishuna, which means the first 3 times, B'chotzer HaNizik, in the Chotzer of the Nizik, not in Rishus HaRabim, Chotzi Nezik Hudu Misham. The Rabbanan Shita is that you pay Chotzi Nezik. Ema Seifa. So far everything works out well, but the problem is going to be with the Seifa, because one of the 5 Mu'adim, according to the Pshat that we learned in our Mishnah, that there are 5 Mu'adim which are listed after the 5 Tamin, and 3 of those the Gemara now is going to quote. Shor HaMu'ud, which refers to Karen after the 3 times when the Shor becomes a Mu'ud. The Shor HaMazik B'Rishus HaNizik, and Karen, when it's done not in the Rishus Ram, it's done in the Rishus HaNizik. Veho Adam and Adam, these are Mu'adim Mitchila, they pay Nezik Shalom right away. So one of those cases was Shor HaMazik B'Rishus HaNizik pays Nezik Shalom. Whose sheet is that? Aslan Rav Tarfon. That's going according to Rav Tarfon, because according to Rabbanan, you would only pay in that case Chatzi Nezik. So this sefer is going like the Reb Tarfon, the Amr, that he says, Mishunah Karen B'chatzar on Nizik, Nezik Shalom Mishal. That when Karen is Mishunah, when it's the first three times and it's still considered abnormal activity of this animal, if it's done B'chatzar on Nizik, Reb Tarfon Shita is that you pay Nezik Shalom. So I have a problem. Reish Rabbanav is sefer Reb Tarfon. The way we learned the Reisha, Chatzi Nezik, and the Rishus Nezik by Karen is going according to Rabbanan. And the way we are learning the Seifa, the Shora Mazik, Rishus Nezik, pays Nezik Shalom by Karen, that is according to Rab Tarfon. And you have two anonymous statements here. The Mishnah does not quote any Mandi Yomrim. It's very difficult to reconcile the Reisha with the Seifa. To say that the Reisha is going anonymously according to the Rabbanan Chatzi Nezik, and the Seifa is going anonymously according to Reb Tarfon, that Nezik Shalom. The Gemara answers in, yes, that's what you'll have to say. The Amar Le Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, Shinana, you sharp one, Shvoik Mas Nisan, leave alone the Mishnah, meaning do not try to have the Mishnah going according to one Mandi Amar, leave it alone, the Tav Asurai, and come after me, and learn that Einachanami, the Reish is going according to Rabbanan, the Seif is going according to Rab Tarfon. Reish and Rabbanan, the Seif, Rab Tarfon. However, continues the Gemara, Rab Lozer, Mishmeda Rav Amar, Rav Lozer, the name of Rav, wanted to in fact learn that our Mishnah is going according to one sheet as we turn to Daf Tez Zayin Omid Aleph. Kula Rab Tarfon, we can really say that everything is going according to Rab Tarfon. So if so, the Seifa is understandable. Shor Amazik Rishus HaNizik, which is Karen and Rishus HaNizik, right away pays Nezik Shom, that's going according to Rab Tarfon. But I have a problem with the Reisha, because it's speaking about Rishus HaNizik, and yet you only pay Chatzin Nezik. Reisha, the Reisha is speaking about a special case. What is that? We've had this case previously. B'chotzer HaMiuchedes L'Peiris L'Echad Man. The two people made a deal, and the deal was Reuven and Shimon are going to be partners in this field, but they're only going to be partners as far as their oxen being allowed to come into this jointly owned Rishus. However, as far as Peiris are concerned, the only one who could leave the Peiris there was Reuven. So it's a Chatzar, Miuchedes L'Peiris L'Echaman. Only Reuven has permission to bring the Peiris in there. So as Rashi explains, as far as Peiris, eating Peiris is concerned, it's considered that it is in the Rishus of the Nizik. But ulezeh, ulezeh, l'shvarim. As far as Shen is concerned, if the animal is going to eat those Peiris, so then it's considered Rishus on Nizik, not Rishus Arabim, and therefore Shen is a mu'ud right away, and you pay Nezik Shalom. As far as Karen is concerned, it's jointly owned. They both have permission to bring their oxen there. It has a din, says Rashi, like Rishus HaRabim, and we know that Karen in the Rishus HaRabim, according to everybody, even according to Rab Tarfon, only pays Chatzi Nezik. That is how we will explain the Reisha, as the Gemara now elaborates the Legabe Shen. If we look at this field from the perspective of Shen, Havyelo Chatzar HaNizik. So since only one person is allowed to bring his Peiris there, it's considered Chatzar HaNizik. And therefore Shen is Chayv Nezik Shalom right away in the Chatzar HaNizik. Well, Legabe Karen, but when we look at it vis-a-vis Karen, Havi Rishus HaRabim, since both of them have permission to bring their oxen there, Legabe oxen is considered Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, if one damaged the other through Negicha, this is Karen, and Karen Rishus HaRabim pays Chatzi Nezik. So we understand the Seifa, we understand the Reisha, and the whole Mishnah will be going according to Rav Tarfon. I'm Rav Kana, said Rav Kana, I'm Rita Lishmaitza Kameh to Rav Zvid. I said over this halach in front of Rav Zvid Minardo, and I said over the Pshat, that Rav Lozer had said in the name of Rav, how the whole Mishnah could be going according to Rav Tarfon, Va'amar li, and he said to me when he heard this pshat in the Mishnah, Mi motzes mukmas lo kulik Rav Tarfon, how could you say that this whole Mishnah is going according to Rav Tarfon? Hoktani, we learned in our Mishnah, Hashen mu'edis lechles aroyalo. The Shen is a mu'ed to eat that which is proper, normal for it to eat, as Rashi explains, like fruits and vegetables. So we can make a deduction, ru'uyullah in, there's nezik shom that is paid for shen when it eats things that it normally eats, like peris and urakis. She'ein ruyula, but things that are not, it does not normally eat, as Rashi explains, ksus v'kelim, garments and vessels. Loy, that will be meshuna, that would be not normal, and therefore we would only pay chatzi nezik. We would not pay the nezik shalom of shen, we would pay the chatzi nezik of keret. The iraf tarfin, and if, in fact, our Mishnah, the whole Mishnah is going to go up tarfin, ha'amar of tarfin shita is meshuna keren b'chatzar nezik nezik shalom shalom. That when you have a case of meshuna keren, when it's the first three times, when it's not normal, it's still considered abnormal activity of this animal. It, yet Reb Tarfon holds when it's done in the rishus of nizik, as opposed to rishus of rabim, the mazik does have to pay nizik shalom. So what is the difference? Whether it is royal law, it eats normal things that it pays nizik shalom for, because of shen, or whether it's not royal law and it'll pay nezik shalom because of Karen, according to Reb Tarfon, that shorah mazik b'shus hanizik for Karen pays nezik shalom. And the way we're making a deduction for our Mishnah, by Karen, in ain't a royal law, by ksus v'kelim, you would only pay chatzi nezik. So your pshat does not work out in this prat of the Mishnah. Ella, the Gemara has charata, and the Gemara has a new pshat. And yet, we're going to try to have it all according to one shita. That shita will be according to Rabbanan. And we're going to learn a whole new pshat in the Chamisha Tamim and the Chamisha Muadim. Until now, we were learning that the five Tamim are Negicha with the four Toldos of Negifa and Neshicha, Revitza, and Be'ita. And the five Muadim are the next five that are mentioned in the Mishnah. Shen, Regel, Shor Hamuad, Shor Hamazim, Shor Sanizik, and Oda. And the Gemara now is going to change that pshat. Loilam Rabbanan. Really, our whole mission is going to Rabbanan. That whole, that Shor HaMazik, Rishos HaNezik, pays only Chatzi Nezik. V'chsuri Mechsri V'chitoni. There are words missing from our Mishnah. And this is really what the Mishnah means to be saying. Chamisha Tamim Hei. There are five Tamim. V'im U'adu. And if the owner was warned each time that the ox did one of these five things, watch out, your ox is doing things and damaging other oxen, and it happened three times, then chamishtan, each of these five different variations of keren, chamishtan muadin, they all, if they were warned three times, then those same five tamim turn into five muadim. It's not like we learned before that they're five tamim, and there's a separate list of five muadim, but rather the five muadim refers to the five tamim once they've been, the owner has been warned three times, and it still happened that he would pay nezik shalom. Then the Mishnah makes a list of other muadim, but they are not included in the number five. Then the Mishnah states, v'shen, v'regel, muadim etcholasan, they are muad right away, they don't have to wait through three times of warning as Karen does when it's still a tum. The shen and regular muad mitchila. The heichen adasin, and where do they become a muad? So that's the pshat, as Rashi explains what the Mishnah states. The shora muad. Shora muad, according to this pshat, is not a separate muad. We're not referring to Karen, as we learned in the pshat before, that tam Karen, after three times, becomes muad. Nor shora muad is referring to shen and regel. Shen and regel is shora muad right away. Where does that take place? Where is it muad right away? B'chatzar ha-nizik. That's when the shora mazik is in the rishus of the nizik. So according to this pshat, shora mazik rishus ha-nizik is not referring at all to Karen. Shora mazik rishus ha-nizik is referring to shen v'regel, because we know that shen v'regel is pater rishus ha-rabim. So the Mishnah is just elaborating on the muad of shen v'regel. So according to this, the first four items mentioned here, as opposed to the way we learned before that they were four different muadim, according to this, all four boil down to two muadim. You have shen and regel, and shen and regel is shor amud mitchila, and where are they, shor amud mitchila, in the rishus hanizik, the shor amazik in the rishus hanizik. And this has nothing to do with the machlokes of Reb Tarfon and the Rabbanan, and the whole Mishnah could be going like the Rabbanan, that Shor HaMazik B'Shus HaNizik only pays Chatzi Nezik. Maskula Ravina, Ravina had a kasha on this pshat, Haktani L'Kamon. We learned further in Andaf Chav Dalid Amid Beis that it states over there, and it's actually a Mishnah at the bottom of Chodavon Bey. Shor HaMazik B'Shus HaNizik Ketzad. And the Gemara goes on to elaborate in the Machlokas between Rav Tarfon and the Rabbanon. Yi Amrat Bishleim Ha'ayriba. If you're going to say that, we know that the second Perek, the Mishnais, are all explaining the Mishnah that we just learned on Daf Tezvav Amid Beis. So if the Mishnah on Tezvav Amid Beis mentioned the machlokes of Tarfon Rabbanon, Mishum Hachi, therefore, Tani, that's why in Chof, the Mishnah on Chof Dal Amid Beis, which is elaborating on our Mishnah here, it goes ahead and says, Ketzad, how that headline that you gave me on Tezvav Amid Beis, that there is such a thing of Shor HaMazik B'Shus HaNizik, which has its own unique dinim, and Rav Tarfon holds Nezik Shalom, Ketzad, the Mishnah there elaborates in that machlokes. Eli'i Amrit Lo'yai Riba. So my ketzah, but if in fact, according to the pshat that you just learned, that Shor HaMazik B'Shus HaNizik is not speaking about Mishunah Karen B'Chatzar HaNizik, but rather it's speaking about Shen V'Regel. So what's the Mishnah over there? Chavdal HaMabay is elaborating on our Mishnah. That Mishnah on Chavdal HaMabay has nothing to do with our Mishnah over here on Tezvav HaMabay. It must be that somehow or other, Shor HaMazik B'Shus HaNizik is in fact referring to Karen, and it's not referring to Shen V'Regel, as you just wanted to say, Pshat. El Amar Ravina. So Ravina himself, who just asked this question, he has his own approach of how to learn the Mishnah will go according to the Rabbanan, the whole Mishnah, but he learns the Chesuri Mechsuri in a different way. El Amar Ravina, Chesuri Mechsuri Achitani. This is what is missing from the Mishnah. Chamisha Tamim Hen V'Muadim Chamishdan Muad. So we start off this pshat of Ravina the same like we learned in the last pshat, that the five tamin themselves are the five muadim. Chamisha tamin hein v'muadu chamisha muadim. Those five themselves turn into muadim. The shen v'regel muadim mitchilosen. Shen and regel are muad mitchila. V'zehu shor hamuad. And that's what we mean by Shor HaMu'ud, that Shen V'Regel are Mu'ud Mitchila. We're not referring to Shor HaMu'ud of Tam, by Karen, that after three times becomes a Shor HaMu'ud. But rather Shen V'Regel are, what is the next item listed in the Mishnah, Shor HaMu'ud. So far the Pshat is identical with the Pshat that we just had before. And now here's where it deviates. V'Shor HaMazik B'Shus HaNizik, that is not referring to Shen V'Regel. Now we're itemizing something else. We're talking, speaking about Karen, and we're headlining that there is a unique category of Shor HaMazik B'Shus HaNizik. And what's so unique about it? Because in that category, there's a machlokes from Tarfon Rabbanan. And on that machlokes, the Mishnah further on Chof Dalam Mebeis elaborates Ketzad, how to, exactly does that machlokes play itself out. And then you have another grouping of muadim that are similar to the ones that we just said, that are muad mitchila. And what are they? Azev, the wolf, Ari, the lion, Vadov, the bear, Vabardalus, which we're going to learn about what exactly, which animal this is at the bottom of this amud, Vahanomer, and the leopard, Vahanachash, and the snake. Tanya Namahachi, we learned like this in the Bryce as well. Chamisha Tam and Hain. There are five tamen, v'imuadu, and if they were warned three times, they turn into chamashtan muadin, they become the five muadin. Then the Mishnah goes ahead, we're finished with the number five, and now we're just listing a series of muadim, mitchila, v'shen v'regel muadim mitchilasin, v'zeu shor hamuad, that's what we refer to as shor hamuad, v'shor hamazik v'shus hanizik b'chlokes Rav Tarfon Rabbanan, exactly the pshat that Ravina said we found in a brisa, that shor hamazik now is not referring to shen v'regel, it's referring to Karen. And the Mishnah is headlining that shor hamazik v'shus hanizik is unique, because there we have a machlokes Rav Tarfon Rabbanan, v'yesh muadim achem kiyaitzebeilu, and we have similar animals that are muad mitchila, and they are hazev, ari, adoy, vanemer, vabardos, vahandachosh. Ika de ramele mirma. Some came to the same conclusion as above, by asking a kasha. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, chamisha tamah chamisha muadim. There's five tamah and five muadim, v'su leka, and that's all. So in other words, we thought that the pshat and five muadim are the list of shen, regal, shor, muad, shor, maz, v'shus, nes, v'adim. And that's what the question is, a totally different question. If, in fact, the Mishnah elaborates and says that there are more mu'adim of animals, zev, arid, dov, nem, or barla, so why are we limiting the mu'adim to five? There's many more than five. Umishani, and we answer, Am Ravina said, Ravina, chaser, machzer, achitani. There are words missing in the Mishnah, and this is what it should be saying. Chamisha tam and hain, ve'im u'adu, if they were warned, chamisha mu'adim, those five turn into mu'adim. Not like you wanted to learn that there's five tamin, and there's a separate list of five mu'adim, which include shen, regal, shor amu'ad, and shor amazik, which is on nizik. And adam, that's the five. No. The five are the five tamim who are warned three times, they become five mu'adim. And after we finish with the number five, the rest of the entire Mishnah includes all different types of mu'adim mitchila, v'shen v'regal mu'adim mitchilasim. V'zehu shor amu'ad, that's what we refer to as shor amu'ad. And then you have Adam, V'yesh Mu'adim Acherim, there's another Mu'adim, Ki'yitzvelu, similar, Hazev, Ari, Adoy, Vanev, Arbaras, Vanev. So in other words, according to this Pshat of Ravina, which is actually a Brisa, and it accomplishes that we also avoid this additional question, because if you learn that the Chamishu Mu'adim goes on the list of Shen Regel, Shor Amu'ad, Shor Amaz, Rishus, and Nizik, and Adam, those are the five, then it begs itself the question, why limit the Mu'adim at five when you just, a few words later, are including Zev, Dov, Bear, and Bartolus, etc., and Nachash. So why limit it to five? The answer is that the five don't refer to Shor Amaz, Rishus, and Nizik, and Adam, and Shen and Regel. The five represent the five Tamim that become themselves Mu'adim. And once you get past that number five, the rest of the Mishnah is a series of items, various items, which are Mu'ad Mitchila, so Memela, according to this Pshat, the whole Mishnah is going like the Rabbanan, and the Seif is not a stira on the Reisha, because all the Seif is telling us is that, in fact, Shor Amazim, Shus HaNizik, which in the Reisha we had said, is Karen, which is Chayv Chatzin Nezik, in the Sefer, we're letting you know that, in fact, that's a machlokas, and the Mishnah later in Chavdal Amid Beis elaborates exactly how that machlokas plays itself out. Now, there's an important Tosfos here, the bottom Tosfos, Divrei Maskav HaNachash Harei Elu Mu'adim, where Tosfos points out to us that when we say that these animals are Mu'ad Mitchila, it means that they are Mu'ad Mitchila concerning the five tamen, Negicha, Be'ita, biting and kicking and squatting and goring and pushing, all these five, which by a shore are tamim, by these ferocious animals are mu'ad mitchila. Does that mean that it's not shayich tam by these other wild animals? So Taisa says, avada, it is shayich tam in things that will be not urchei to them. In Negicha and Be'ita, which are abnormal by a shor, that's normal by all these wild animals, and that's why you're Mu'ad Mitchila. But if, in fact, these wild animals did something unusual, then Ein Echanami, they would have a din of Karen, Peis Chatzin Nezek, Potter in Chayiv, rather, in Rishus Arabim, not like Shen V'Regel that are Potter, Rishus Arabim, they would be Chayiv, but they'll only be Chayiv, Chatzin Nezek. And let's see the Tosfos inside. Lav b'chol and yoni hezik chashivim mu'adim. It doesn't mean that concerning everything these animals are mu'adim. Ela kol echad b'midi d'urche. Every animal, what's normal to it? Kigoyin shibo zev v'taraf. We're going to learn in Amid Beis, there's a chilek between trefa and dorsa. Taraf means that the wild animal pulls apart and kills its prey, whereas doras means that the wild animal eats the prey up alive. So if a zev tore its prey apart, that's normal. Ari Vidoras, or an Ari, ate its prey up alive. The Ari, as the Rosh explains, is not afraid of any other animal taking its prey away, and therefore doesn't have to kill its prey and drag it to its lair, but rather it can comfortably and calmly eat its prey up alive on the spot. Oy tarf laniach. If the lion is storing food for the future, or as we're going to see on Amud Beis, he's bringing food to his cubs or to the lioness, so then it is urche for it to kill the prey and drag it to its lair. But something that's not normal, if the Ari himself tears up its prey and eats it, that's not normal, because the Ari is always dairus, it eats it up alive. The chen shara zeg is the lavrachai, or anything else that's not normal, loy have muadim, al misham mechatzin ezek, they only pay mechatzin ezek. Uvimidi derchai the misham ezek shalom, and it's something that's normal that they pay ezek shalom, haine dafka bechatzir an ezek. So that becomes a told of shen, for an ari to be doyres is normal. That's shen, bechatzir an ezek, av b'shus ram potter, davi shen b'shus a rabbim. Kidam Shmuel b'Gemara, Ari b'Shus Arabim, Doris v'Achol Potter. On Amud Beis, we're going to see that Shmuel says that an Ari who's Doris b'Shus Arabim, which is normal for an Ari, so that is its Shen, and Shen b'Shus Arabim is Potter. So learns Taisus. However, the Rambam, the Gra, brings down here the Aleph at the beginning of this Taisus, quotes the Gra. The Gra is a Gra, and the Gra says, he quotes, Nichta Betzidah, V'Rambam Choylik Alzeh. The Rambam is Choylik. So what's the sheet of the Rambam? The sheet of the Rambam is that these animals never have the concept of Chatzi Nezek. They, Mu'ud Metchilah, they always pay Nezek Sholem. However, the Magid Mishnah explains, there is, even according to the Rambam, a difference between Urche and Lav Urche. If it's normal, then it will be a told of Shen, and Enechanan will be Potter B'Shus Arab. If it's abnormal, like Tysus pointed out, a lion who would kill its prey and then eat it, that's abnormal for a lion, so that would be a told of Karen. And according to the Rambam, it would be Chayiv B'Shus Arabim. However, it would be Chayiv Nezek Shalom. According to Tysus, it's a told of Karen, it's only Chayiv Chotzi Nezek, if it's Lav Urchei. By an Ari, for example. However, according to the Rambam, it's Lav Urche, it's not Shen, told of Karen, but in that instance, it would be Chayiv Nezek Sholem, because there is no Chatzin Nezek by these wild animals, according to the sheet of the Rambam. Continues the Gemara. We're up to the second wide line. Amar Rav Lazar. Rav Lazar said in our Mishnah, on the Rav Lazar is interpreting the words of our Mishnah, which said, V'loy Lirboids, that squatting on Kalim is a is Mishunah, is Karen, told of Karen, and it's Chayiv Chatzi Nezek. I'm Rav Lazar, said Rav Lazar to explain this halacha. When do we say squatting on Kalim is Chayiv Chatzi Nezek? That's only large vessels, Avul Pachim Tanim, but small vessels, Urcheyu, that's Urche. Therefore, it would be a told of Regal, and therefore, B'Shus Arabim, it would be totally Potter, because Regal is Potter, B'Shus Arabim. It would be not chay. It would not be chayiv chatzin nezek. Leimim misale. So first, the Gemara wants to say, let me bring a raya to Rav Lazar Shita that by urche, by pachim tanim, it's normal and it's a told of regal. We learned in a brisa, behema medes lal kedarka. The behema is muad to walk on its usual way, l'shaber and to break kalim, ulamayach and to crush them. And what are they crushing? As a adam, a person, as a behem, an animal, as a kalim, and kalim. So, l'chayr would be a raya. Here we see that it's shayach to crush something, which the Gemara understood to mean to squat on it. And it's shayach to be urche. The Mishnah says that it's a tolt of Karen. It's not urche. So, l'chayr, it's a raya to Rav Lazar, because our Mishnah is speaking about pachim dailim. Here we're speaking about Pachim Tanim, that's Urche, and Rashi adds that the Adam will be a small child, and the Behema will be a small animal, and therefore, in all of these cases, when the item or the person or the animal are small, then it's Urche to crush it by squatting, and that will be a beautiful raya to the Sheet of Rav Lazar. There's a chilek between Pachim Dolem and Pachim Tanim. So the Gemara says, no raya, Dilma Minatzad. Who says we're crushing here? By squatting, and then it's Urche. And in Rosh Hashanah Rabin, for example, it would be Potter, because Shen and regular Potter Rosh Hashanah Rabin, Dilma Minatzad. Maybe the animal is walking along, and instead of crushing the keli right under its foot, it sideswipes the keli and squashes it in between its foot and the wall. The animal is walking right next to a wall, and the keli gets stuck between the animal's foot and the wall and gets crushed. But we're not even speaking about squatting. So if it crushes it from the side, that's urche. But what's the raya to squatting on small keli? Maybe that's not urche. Ikad the amri, some learn it in the following way. It's not that we had a raya and we had an upshluck to the raya, but we had a statement from Rab Lazar and we had a kasha. Ikad the amri Rab Lazar. Don't say that only big Kalim is not normal. Aval pachatan ba pachatan zurchehu. No, ela filipachatanim nami lavurchehu. Even small kalim, they're also, that is not the derech. So according to this, Rav Lazar is making a totally different statement than he made before. Before he was machal between pachim dom and pachim tanim. Here he's saying that pachim dom and pachim tanim are the same, that it's a toldo of Karen, it's not normal. Nesri, I'll ask you a kasha now. Instead of bringing a raya to Rav Lazar, now we're going to ask a kasha according to the sheet of Rav Lazar. Ulamach, so adam es tebeim es a kalim. It says it's normal for it to squash man, animal, and kalim. And the Gemara thought it's squatting on it. So lechar, you see, there is urche, must be. It's speaking about pachim tanim, which is urche. Amar Rav Lazar. Rav Lazar says, no, I have an answer to your kasha. Dilma menatzad. Maybe squatting is in fact not urche, both by gdolim and ktanim. Ida Mishnah there says squashing is urche. That's speaking about not that he's squatting, but that he destroyed it from it getting stuck between his foot and the wall, and he squashed it from the side. That would be urche, but squatting, even on pachim ektanim, would not be urche. Ikka de ramla mirma. Some had this whole inyan as a question. Astira, tanan. We learned in our Mishnah v'loy lirboitz that squatting is mishunah. It's a told of Karen. Vatani, we learned in our Raisa, l'maach, so out of a sabayim, so kalim. That's normal. I'm Rab Lazar. Rab Lazar gave a teretz to the stira like kasha. Kam b'pachim doylem, that's not normal. Kam b'pachim tanim, it is normal. So you have three different ways of learning Rab Lazar and the raya or the kasha from the brisa or the stira from the mishnah. There's three different approaches of this limud. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the mishnah. The mishnah states, Hazaev Ari, a wolf and a lion, they are mu'ud mitchila. And then it mentioned a bartless. Ask the Gemara, my bartless, what kind of animal is a bartless? I'm Rav Yehuda, nifrasa, it's a nifrasa. Ask the Gemara, my nifrasa. I don't understand any better now that you say the word nifrasa. What's nifrasa? I'm Rav Yosef, apa. Rav Yosef is an apa. Now, what is an apa? We can ask my apa. And my apa, we have a a big machloikis rishayim. Some rishayim say it's a cheetah, a hyena, a viper, or a polecat, a type of weasel. These are the various pshatim in the rishayim. Continues the Gemara. Meisr, I'll ask you a kasha. Rav Meir says we have to add more animals. Af hatzavoya, even a tzavoya. Rav Lazar, Rav Meir, af hanachsh. You have to add even a nachash. That's also mu'ud mitchila. Vom Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, what's a tzavoya? Zu apa, this is an apa. So here's the question. You're telling me that bartala is apa. Rav Meir says we're adding to the list which included bartala, we're adding tzavoya. What is tzavoya apa? How could tzavoya be apa if bartala is apa? It's obvious that bartala is not apa. And therefore, Rav Meir added tzavoya, which is apa. More answers. Loi kasha, kamba tzavoya zachar, kamba tzavoya in the keva. There are various pshatim here in the Rishonim. We will learn, like the Lishna Achrina, which Rashi says ve'ikrhu, this is the ikr pshat. He heard it he heard it from his Rebbe, that the answer to your stira is the following. That our Mishnah is speaking about a tzavoya nekeva. And what Rab Meir wants to add, afa tzavoya, he means even a zocher. Because as the Gemara is going to explain, a tzavoya zocher has a metamorphosis. It goes from one level of a animal to another until it finally even becomes a vegetable, as we'll soon see in the Gemara. It goes through various cycles. So I would have thought that perhaps that this is not considered a mu'ud mitchila because it's always changing. So maybe we don't give it this name of being Mu'ud Mitchila, Kamash Milan, that even though it goes through all these changes, it's still considered Mu'ud Mitchila. So our Mishnah is Nekeva. There's no changes, no metamorphoses. And Rav Meir is adding even a Tzavoya Zachar, which goes through these changes. Continues the Gemara. Desani, we learned in Brisa, Tzavoya Zachar, La'achar Shev Hashanim, after 7 years, Nasa Atolaf, it becomes a bat. Atolaf, La'achar Shev Hashanim, after 7 years, Nasa Orpud, it becomes a different type of bat. Orpud, La'achar Zayin Shem, after 7 years, Nasa Kimish, it becomes a kind of thorn called a nettle. Kimish La'achar Shev Hashanim, a Kimish after 7 years, Nasa Choyach, Kishashana Ben Choychem, a thorn. Choyach La'achar Shev Hashanim, Nasa Shade, that becomes a shade. So, since it goes through all these changes, I would have thought it's not considered Mu'ud Mitchila. And then the Gemara, while it's on these type of changes, which we really don't have such a clear understanding of, so the Gemara gives us something else that is slightly beyond our comprehension. Shedra Shaladam, the spine of a person, L'achar Shev Hashanim, after 7 years, after he's Nifter, Nasa Nachash becomes a snake. Vahani Mili, and when is that? The Loikar B'Moidim. If he was not Kareya, if he did not bow down during Moidim, he gets a punishment that after his Ptira, his spine turns into a snake. Let us look on Amid Beis, Taisvis Divri Amaschal, Vahu De Loikar B'Moidim, which the Masoreis HaShas tells us that Taisvis really belongs here on Amid Aleph. Let's learn the Taisvis together. It's a mitzvah to bow down during Moedah. In other words, when a person bows down, he's supposed to bow down straight, and when he comes up, he's supposed to curve his neck as he rises slowly up in the shape of a snake. And since this person did not bow down by Moedim, which is giving Shabbach Voidor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thanks to Hashem, Mida v'kineged mida v'nase nachash. Zeu oinshe shegnai uloi b'mea shenase nachash. He did not bow as he should have like a nachash. Therefore, mida v'kineged mida, his spine becomes a nachash, and that's a shame for him, a gnai, that he becomes a nachash. V'yesh meforshim, and some explain, mishav damrin b'medrash, it says in the medrash, sheyesh etzem b'shed b'shalom, there's a bone in the spine of a person, shemimena noitzel asalavi, from which he will have tchiyas amesim. V'oitzei etzem, that bone, chazak, it is strong, and nothing, v'kosher kol kach, it's so strong, she'ena esh yachal asarfoid, fire cannot burn it, and this has been documented scientifically in scientific journals, that there is a certain bone that cannot be burnt by fire. V'hashta, kisha'oysa etzim nasa nachash ena chai lasa lovat. So the whole idea is that this bone never disintegrates. And from that, a person has tchiyas amesim lasa lovat. This bone, we know, is nourished by Sudas Mava Malka. And that's why there's a tremendous inyan to eat Sudas Mava Malka, to give nourishment to the luz bone, which can never be destroyed. And since this person did not bow down with that luz bone, therefore he will not merit it, that bone will turn into a snake, and therefore he won't merit tchiyas amesim. Ain't svara loimer. So Tosis rejects this pshat and says there's no logic to say sheyeoinish gadol kol kach b'shvil oven zeh, that he should get such a great punishment because of this avera. Because all Jews have a chelik in the world to come, and therefore Tosfos feels that the punishment is not in proportion with the avera, that the person did not bow down with his shedra, with his luzbom, and therefore Tosfos rejects that he could get such a horrible punishment, even though he didn't show the correct thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by bowing down. Tosfos finds it hard to accept that that should be his punishment. Continues the Gemara back on Amud Aleph, Omar Mar, we learned before, Rameir says, Afa Tzavoya, he wants to add to the Mishnah, even a Tzavoya, that also is Mu'ud Mitchila. As we turn to Daf Tez Zayin Amud Beis, Rav Lazar says, Af HaNachash, also Nachash. In other words, what is Rav Lazar saying? That not only do I agree that all the other animals are Mu'ud Mitchila, but I want to add even a Nachash. On that, the Gemara asks, we learned in our Mishnah, Rav Lazar Reimer, Bizman Shem B'nei Tarbus, if you train them, and all of these animals can be trained, Einam Mu'adim. All these animals can be trained except with the exception of a nachash. All the Ari, the Dove, the Bartolus can all be trained. So when they're trained, then we expect them to be domesticated and not attack. And therefore, if they attack after their training, they also could be tam in negicha and beita and neshicha, like a shor, according to Rav Lozer. Because when they're domesticated, we don't expect them to attack. Except v'anachish mud loyim. The nachish is mud always. So the kasha is, here you tell me in the Brice that Rav Lozer says, afa nachash, the nachash is like all the other animals, mud mitchila. And Rav Lozer in the Mishnah says that these animals could be domesticated. They're not mud mitchila. The only one that's mud mitchila is a nachash, a stira. The Gemara answers to me, learn nachash. Don't say the word afa nachash. Just say nachash. He doesn't agree that all the other ones were mu'ud mitchila. He's trying to say that Ari, the Dove, they can be domesticated, they can be tam, they're not mu'ud mitchila. The only one that's mu'ud mitchila is nachash. On this, Tosfos asks Akasha from the beginning of Sanhedrin, the Beis Amud Aleph, where it says there in a very long Mishnah, it states, Ari, Vazei, Vadov, Rav Lezer, Oimer, Kol HaKadim Lahargay Zacha. Whoever kills them first has a big schus. And the Rabbi Yochanan explains the Gemara, Afal Pishalei Misa, even though they didn't kill anybody yet, they ain't lem tarbus, because they cannot be trained, they ain't lem bailem. They have no owners, no one to train them, they cannot be trained, and no one they're not responsible to anyone, and therefore they should be killed. So here you tell me they could be trained according to Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Lozer says, the first one to kill them, Hareza Meshubach. So therefore the Re says that here our Girsa is Rabbi Lozer. He lived after Rabbi Meir. And over there we have to be Garis in the Mishnah, Rab Eliezer with a Yud. He was before Rab Akiva, who's mentioned subsequently there in the Mishnah. So here it's Rab Lozer, and there it's Rab Eliezer, and Eina Chanami, they were of two opinions. Continues the Gemara. Amar Shmuel. Says Shmuel, Arib Rishus Arabim, as Tosfos brought this down on Amud Aleph, a line in the Rishus Arabim, Doris V'Ochel, if, as Tosfos brings here on the third Tosfos, Divrei Maskil Doris. What does that mean? Pirusha Oichel Mechayim, he eats the animal up alive, as we have in Pesachim. Ma Arid Doris V'Oichel, Veina Mamtin HaChiyomas, just like a lion who pounces on its prey and eats it up alive and doesn't wait till it dies. So if the Ari does that in the Rishus HaRabim, it's Potter. Why? Because that is Shen. That's the Urche. That's the normal of an Ari. And therefore, Shen is Potter, Rishus HaRabim. But Vitorah V'Ochel. But what happens if he tore up the animal, he killed it, and then the Ari ate it? Chayiv. Why? Because that, as Rashi says, how much will you be Chayiv? Chatzin Ezek. Because that is Mishun. It's not normal for a lion to do it. So it's a told of Karen. Karen's Chayiv and Rishus HaRabim. Chatzin Ezek. That's now the Gemara explains. Doris v'achol potter kiven du urchil amidris havali k'mashach l'peris v'irakis. That if a lion eats the prey up alive, he's potter in Rishus HaRabim because it is normal to do that, and it's as if it's eating fruit and vegetables. The havali shem Rishus HaRabim potter, so it's shen in Rishus HaRabim, it's potter torah. But if it rips it apart and kills it, lav urchil, that's not normal. Ask the Gemara, Lemeimah the Treifa Lav Urchehu, are you coming to tell me that Treifa for a lion is not normal? Vaksiv. We learned a Pasuk in Nochum, and the Pasuk states, let's see the whole Pasuk in its entirety first. Are ye Toirev Badi Goy Raisa? A lion tears up the prey for its cubs. Umechanik, and it chokes the Levoisa for its lionesses. The Yamali Terav Charev, and in its caves it fills it up with the killed prey. Umoy Noisav, and in its lairs, what do we find? Trefa, killed animals. So from all these four parts of this Pasuk in Nachum, the Gemara is going to question that Taraf by a lion is not normal. Lamema the Trefa Lavurchi Uvaksiv. Arye Taraf by the Guraisav. So you see it is normal. The Gemara answers, yes, Bishvil Guraisav. For its cubs, it's normal. But not when the lion's eating it for himself. For himself, he eats it up alive. He wants to take it back for his cubs, so he kills it, and he schleps it back, and his cubs eat the dead carcass. Then the puzzle continued, the second phrase, umechanik lo voisav, he chokes the prey for the lioness. So again, you see, it's normal to kill the prey. The answer is, it's normal bishvil levaisa for the lioness, but not for himself. V'imali teref chayrif. The third phrase, he fills up the caves with teref. So you see, he does do teref. The answer is bishvil chayrif. When he's not eating right away, he's storing it for a rainy day. So then, echanami, he'll kill it and he'll bring it back to his cave. Umoy nice of trefa, and in his lairs there's trefa, so you see he does do trefa. The answer is the same answer. Bishvil moy nice of, when he wants to store it in his lair, then in echlam will do trefa. But trefa va'achal, for a lion on the spot, that is lav urche. Asking more about Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, the chen chaya, sold to a wild animal. Shenichnas ol chatzar nizik, that's not in Rishus Rabbim here, it's going into the chatzar nizik. Torfa beim va'achla, it tore up an animal and killed it and he ate it. Basar, he ate the flesh, Misham, Nezik Shalim. So that, L'chayra, is Shen. And this is Urche, and he, Bishos HaNezik, he has to pay Nezik Shalim. Tosfos points out that although it doesn't mention here anything about a Arye, but since Arye is included in Chaya, so the Gemara understands that this price is referring also to an Arye. So the Gemara's Kasha is, according to Shmuel, if an Arye, Tarav, Va'achal, is lav urche, so then you shouldn't be chayv nezik shalom. Then it should be karen, and you should only pay chatzi nezik. Answers the Gemara, chamay eskin, shetar falania. That einichanami, the lion did the trefa not to eat it, but to store it. Ask the Gemara, how could you say such a pshad? Ha'achlok tani. It says that he was tarif to eat it. He ate it on the spot. The Gemara answers, kishanem l'cho v'achlok. Originally, the lion wanted it to kill it, to bring it back to his cave, and then he decided to eat it on the spot. Ask the Gemara two questions. Number one, Menoyadin, how do you know what's going through the mind of the lion? Maybe the lion's mind was to eat it this way on the spot, and this would be a steer to Shmuel, who said that it's lav urche. Here you see, l'char, it is urche. The oid, and even if somehow you could be a mind reader of what's going through the lion's mind, that he changed his mind, he wanted to store it, and then he decided to eat it on the spot. The oid, the Shmuel nami, dim achiyave. Maybe in the case of Shmuel, where Shmuel said, Ari b'rshus haram, doris v'achal potter, torah v'achal chayiv, so we could say that perhaps how does Shmuel say that Torah is not normal and it's chayiv b'rshus rabim chotzi nezek? Maybe he was speaking about a case where he was Torah laniach and he changed his mind to eat, and in that case that would be urche. And if it's urche, then it would be a told of shen and would be potter b'rshus rabim. So Shmuel, four lines from the top of the yomit, said, Ari b'rshus rabim doris v'achal potter tar v'achal chayiv. Why is tar v'achal chayiv? Because it's not normal, but maybe it's a case of taraf laniach, and then he decided v'nimlach v'achal, where it would be normal, and if it would be normal, it's a told of shen. If it's a told of shen, then it should be potter as well. Just like doris v'achal b'rshus rabim is potter, tar v'achal in this case would be urchan, which should also be potter, because shen is potter b'rshus rabim. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, you know what the answer is? Let's study Ktani. That we have to say the Bryce is going in two separate cases. The first case is Shatar Falaniach. Oi, Dorsav Achla. Then, Mishael Lamas Nezek Shalom. You had a kasha. That from the Bryce it would seem. That Torah V'Achla is Urche. And that Shiran Shul said that Torah V'Achla is not Urche. The answer is Taraf v'achal is lav urche. However, here we're speaking about two different cases. We're talking about taraf laniach, that's case one, and that is urche. And we're talking about v'achla, refers to a second case, doras v'achal, that's also urche. Both of those cases are chayiv in Nezik Shalom for shen in the Rishus Hayachid. That is the pshat in the Braisa. Ravina wants to say a different teretz. Kikom or Shmuel, when did Shmuel say his din? By Ritarbus, I'll leave it to Rabbi Lazar. So Rashi explains that really I'll tell you that according to Shmuel, Torah v'ochal is urche. I, Shmuel, said that Torah v'ochal is chayv and Rishus Rabim. If it's urche, then we had a kasha, then it's a told of shen, which should be potter Rishus Rabim. The Teretz is regarding Kohen Drabbel Azer, who says that a lion could be domesticated. By a domesticated lion, it's lav urchei. It becomes a told of Karen. We didn't expect it to do this damage, so it becomes lav urchei, and therefore it's a told of Karen. Chayv chatzinezik b'shus harabim. Ihachi, if so, if we're talking about b'nei tarbas, Kohen Drabbel Azer, so why is the din by dorsa va'ochla b'shus harabim potter? Because that's urchei. Afilu dorsa namilachayv. Then even dorsa should be chayv, because it is not urchei for a domesticated lion, according to Rabbi Lazar. So there shouldn't be any chilik between Doris or Tarif. Why do you tell me Doris is potter and Tarif is chayiv? Doris should also be chayiv if it's b'nei tarbas, because it's not urchei. So at least it should be chayiv chotzi nezek in the Rishus HaRabim. Ella de Ravina lava Shmuel Itmo. You have to say what Ravina was saying. He wasn't going to explain Shmuel. Ella Masnisi was going to explain the Brisa. When did the Brisa, which is speaking about not Rishus HaRabim, the Brisa is speaking about when you went into Rishus HaNizan. And the Brisa says that for Torah, you are Chayiv. So you know what that's speaking about. It's not speaking about as a Tolda of Karen. Excuse me, it's not speaking about as a Tolda of Shen, but rather it's speaking about Aritarbas Valibad Rabbel Azer. Here's where Ravina comes in to say that it's going according to Rabbel Azer. The Bryce is going according to Rabbel Azer. It's speaking about Aritarbas, according to Rabbel Azer, Dharma Lavurke, who says that any damage by this domesticated lion becomes a told of Karen, it's Mishunna, and therefore it's Chayiv as a told of Karen. It's not talking about Shen. Shmuel is going into Shen. And the Brisa is speaking about Karen Aliba de Rabbel Azer by B'nai Tarbas. Freidi Gemara, if that's the Pshat, Ihochi Chatzi Nezik Boiler Shulmi. Why does it say the Brisa, Yipay Nezik Shalom? If it's going B'nai Tarbas according to Rabbel Azer, then it's Karen, then Karen should pay Chatzi Nezik. The more answers the Ayayid, that it did it more than three times and therefore became a Mu'ud. It was warned and the Baal wasn't careful and therefore he has to pay as a Mu'ud. Nezik Shalom. Ihochi. If that's the pshat, my high gavitol de shen, this brisa is learned in connection with a told of shen. But according to you, it's a whole new pshat in the brisa. It has nothing to do with shen. It has to do with Karen, according to Rabbel Azer, b'nei tarbas. So gavitol de the Karen boilem misnayu. It should have been written by a told of Karen. The Gemara says, Eimichanami, this is a kasha. So the Gemara does not like this pshat, but rather we have the pshat that we had before, where we could say, let's stud in. It's speaking about Shen, and your Chayv Nezik Shalom for Shen by a lion in two cases, either Doris V'Ochal or Torah V'Laniach, not Torah V'Ochal together, but let's start him, Ktani. There's two separate sides to the cases. One case is Doris V'Ochal, and one case is Torah V'Laniach. And in both of those cases, the Tolda of Shen, Chayv Nezik Shalom, in the Rishus of the Nizik. Begins the next Mishnah, Ma bin Tam Lemu'ud. What is the difference between Tam and Mu'ud? Elo, Shatam, Misham, Chotz, Nez, Megufay. The Tam, whatever damage the Mazik did to the Nizik, has to be paid from what the value of the Shor HaMazik is. And if the damage to the Nizik Shor outweighs the value of the Guf of the Nizik, of the Mazik Shor, then the Nizik loses, because the most that the Mazik can pay is the Chatzi Nizik half from the value of the shore of the Mazik, Umuit. But if he was warned three times and he did it anyway, so then when he becomes a Muid, Misham Nizik Shalom, then the owner has to pay a Nizik Shalom, Minu Aliyah from the Meitav, from even if the shore of Mazik is not worth the full damage, the owner will have to pay from his assets the best. If it's karka, he has to pay the best karka. And the Gemara now wants to know what this word aliyah means. My aliyah, Amar Rav Lazar, b'me'ulah shem nechassim, the best of his nechassim, v'cheinu aymer. And so we find the word me'ulah, aliyah, that means the best in a pasuk concerning Chizkiyahu HaMelech. The pasuk says, v'yishkav Chizkiyahu HaMavaisav, Chizkiyahu passed away, and he dwelled with his forefathers, Vayikbaru. They buried him, B'ma'ala Kivrei B'nei David, in the esteem, Kvarim of B'nei David. V'am Rab Lazar, what does B'ma'ala mean? Eitzel me'ulim shem mishpacha, by the chashuvim of the mishpacha, man ninu, who are they? David Ushleima, Chizkiyahu was buried together with David Ushleima. The Ben Yoyada points out that these three great kings were put together because all of them were Marbitz Torah in an extraordinary way. We're going to learn about the extraordinary Harbatz HaTorah of Chizkiyahu Melech B'siyata D'Shemayim tomorrow Shir. But the Ben Yoyada points out that the Rosh Tevis, the beginning letter in the names of Chizkiyah, David, and Shlomo, are Chadesh. Ches Chizkiyah, Dalet David, Shin Shlomo. Chadesh, since they were Mechadesh, so much Torah in Klal Yisrael, these three Malachim, they were Nikbar as a group together. The Ben Yoyada points out that the Soif Tevis, the last letter of the three names of these kings, spells out the word Hod. Hey from Shlomo, the Vav from Chizkiyah Melech, and the Dalid from David spells out Hod. They were the splendor of Klal Yisrael. So Chizkiyah Melech was buried. B'malei Kivrei B'nei David means Me'ulim, the exalted, the high ones in the Mishpacha, the best. And that's what the word Aliyah means, that you have to pay from your best properties. Now the Gemara explains a pasuk concerning Asa Melech Yehuda. Vayikbaru b'kfaroysav asher kor aloi b'ir David. They buried him in the grave that he hewed out in the city of David. Vayishkivu, they laid him down b'mishkav in a place to lay asher molei b'sam v'zonim, that was full of different kinds of spices. My b'sam v'zonim. The Gemara is focusing on the word zanim. What does that word mean exactly? So here we have a machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni. One looks at it in the amount, and the other looks at it in the quality. Rabbi Elazar, I'm zini zini, which Rashi explains to mean mine mine psamim harbeik. As we explore, the Targum explains the word lemineu liznoyhe. So it means many different kinds of psamim. And Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni says, B'samim shekolam ariyach ben, whoever would smell these spices, bali de zima, would come to illicit relationships. That's how powerful these b'samim were. So he is looking at it in the quality of the b'samim, as opposed to Rav Elazar, who looks at it at the multitude of these b'samim. Now the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, that Yirmiyahu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Klal Yisrael is trying to entrap him. Kikaru shucha, they have dug a pit, lilakdani, to capture me. Upachem, entraps, tom luragli, they hid to my feet. Rav Elazar Omer, and the Gemara brings this down because we had a machlokes before between Rav Elazar and Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni in the meaning of zanim, and now again we have a machlokes Rav Elazar and Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni in what they were choshed Yirmiyahu. Rav Elazar Omer shechashdu mizayna, they were choshed that he had illicit relationships with a zona, and Tosfos, the second wide line of Tosfos at the bottom, says Yirmi shechashdu mizayna Yirmiyahu koyin aver. The zayin asur lekayin, a zayin is asur, a harlot is asur to a kayin. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omer shechashdu meishes ish, they said that he had relationships with a married woman. Ask the Gemara, Bishlam Laman Damar Shechashdu Mizayna, Haynu Dechsev, Kishucha Mukazayna. We find a pasuk in Mishlei that says that a zona is a deep pit. A person gets involved with a zona, Rechmana Litzlan, it's very deep pit, very deep to climb out of. So the word Shucha is related to zona. So therefore, the pasuk that Yirmiyahu said makes sense, that they dug a shucha to trap me with zona. Eleman diyom shchashdu meishesish, my shucha. What does shucha have to do with eishesish? We don't find the word shucha in connection with eishesish. The Gemara answers, ought to eishesish minafka mechal zayna, and eishesish is out of the category of zayna. She's also a promiscuous woman. She's also included in the isser of zona. According to the sheet that says that they suspect him of Eishesh, that's the pshat in the pasuk. Va'ata Hashem, you Hashem yadata, you know it's called tzosim alai lamavis, that they want their whole eitz against me is to kill me, because the punishment for Eishesh is chanek, death. El man yomish kashdum is zayna, but according to the sheet that says that they suspect that he had relation with a zayna, my lamas, for a zona you're over a lav, but there's no punishment of Misa. The Gemara answers, it was a physical punishment. They actually wanted to kill him. They put him into a lime pit, and they actually wanted him to drown and get killed in that lime pit. Dorish Rava, Maidit Siv, that which it says in the Pasuk, Yu Mechshomu Fanecha, that Yirmiyo Davin Tashem, that his enemies should be stumble in front of you. At the time of your anger, say Bohem, you should punish them. Omer Yirmiyah Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yirmiyah said to Hashem, Reboinu Shalaylam, Afilu Bishah, Shaisin Staka. The Gemara is focusing on the word Lifonecha, as Tosfos, the third bottom line of Tosfos, says, Diremas Lefonecha, Shenemer, Vahalach Lefonecha Tzikecha. Your righteousness will go in front of you. So we see the word Lefanech is connected with Staka. So what Yirmiyahu was saying to Hashem is, Yiyu Mechshom Lefanech, that Staka that is associated with the word Lefanech, in front of you, Hashem, that mitzvah of Staka, Hechshilam B'nei Adam Shenem Mugadim, make them stumble by giving Staka to people that are not proper and don't really need this staka, kidei shlo yikabel alem schar, so that even for this mitzvah of staka, they should not receive schar. The Meforshim explain that the only time a person does not get schar for giving staka to a person who is not worthy of receiving staka is if he knows that the person is not worthy, and he still gives it. If he doesn't know, he'll still get a mitzvah tztaka. He didn't know that this person is a faker. He doesn't really deserve the tztaka. So Yirmiyahu was asking Hashem, please bring in front of them people who don't deserve the tztaka, and they should give it to them anyway, and then they will not have the mitzvah of tztaka, and they will have nothing to protect them from the anger of Hashem when he comes to punish them. In tomorrow's shir, we will go into the great kavod that Klal Yisrael did to Chizkiyah HaMelech for the unbelievable amount of Abrotzes HaTorah that Chizkiyah HaMelech did in his lifetime.